What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Hope everybody is starting off their Halloween weekend on a good note. Welcome to Patriots Talk with Lauro and Ben. Every Friday, Ben and I will recap last week's Patriots games and preview the next one. So, Ben, how's it going? And hope you're having a safe and happy Halloween. As you know, Halloween's tomorrow, and hope the Patriots can trick us or they can treat us on Sunday against the Bills.
Hi, Laura. I hope you're doing well. Happy Halloween weekend to you as well. Looking forward to seeing how the Patriots play on Sunday. Looks like they're going to be pretty banged up, though.
Yeah, it looks like. We're going to talk about that shortly. But before we went on the show, I was playing Madden 21, and then I was playing Patriots Cardinals. And I was texting you that in Madden 21, the Patriots started at 4-1. But since then, they dropped their last three in Madden 21.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way that this kind of season's been going so far. You know, they had a couple of good ones start the year, and then they've gone off, you know, had a slow little streak here. So hopefully, you know, on Sunday they can get back to their winning ways here.
Yeah. So when I was texting you, and I sent you the pictures, it shows you how good the Arizona Cardinals are when I was playing them in that Week 8 matchup at Gillette Stadium. They also have the Baltimore Ravens next week, so that's going to be quite a challenge.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if you're aware, but New England, we got some snow today, a little bit of early New England type of snow. So, that's obviously, I wish the Patriots might have been able to play a little bit of snow game this weekend, but apparently the weather up in Buffalo is going to be a little windy, could be a little bit of rain, so it could be a ground and pound type game.
Yes, but
which the Patriots might need.
Yeah, but you know, in Madden 21, you saw that it was snowing in the game.
Yeah, which kind of obviously was able, you know, I was able to kind of see in a way that it kind of the weather kind of related to what it was out today. Some early snow, something that 2020 could bring us even more of.
And also you could see that the Cardinals, even though they're a West Coast hot weather desert team, came into the New England snow in that video game to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, looked like they beat them up pretty good.
Yeah, and then you saw that the Cardinals just came away with a win. But in Madden 21, you saw that the Cardinals in that video game are 5-3.
Yeah, I mean, I could see why. They're kind of similar to that right now. They're 4-2. They've had a couple of tough losses, but they've also have really, really good tough wins against some really good opponents. So this is a very exciting team, and it makes that division a lot of fun with all the teams kind of in that mix right now.
Yeah, and I just sent you Madden 21, the AFC East standing. So you see that what I texted you is that Buffalo 6-2, New England 4-4, Miami 3-5, and then the Jets 0-8.
Yeah, so maybe some Madden from you on that standings could get the Pats some luck, because currently they're 2-4, and maybe they could be 4-4, and maybe I can go back to that picture and screenshot it, saying to the fact that maybe that Madden thing is a treat for us.
Yeah, it is a treat, but the trick is Patriots going 2-4 in real life. But you could screenshot that 4-4 thing that I just sent you right now.
Yeah, I'd love to do it.
All right, let's get right to our game this week for the Patriots, as the Patriots take on the first place Buffalo Bills. But Madden has it right. Buffalo in first, New England in second, Miami in third, and then the Jets in last. But really, in real life, last week, the Patriots lost embarrassingly to the 49ers. That was a game that was disgusting to watch. But with that being said, this week, the Patriots have to treat this game like it's a playoff game and like they're about to face elimination from the playoff picture against the Buffalo Bills. That's how I would like to see them approach Sunday's game.
Well, I think that Buffalo, you know, it's basically this Patriots team that's, you know, post Tom Brady era, no Julian Edelman, no, like a lot of banged up players now. Stephon Gilmore's banged up, Jason Jackson now a little bit banged up. So I mean, for Buffalo fans out there, if you can't win this one, I don't know if you go if the next time you ever get the chance to. This is, you know, like I wouldn't say this is really treated like a playoff game. You just have to find a way to win. That's obviously give the confidence up for the team. You can give up confidence for Cam Newton. You can give up confidence for a lot of guys out there. You know, kind of with all the media and stuff, kind of slamming them, being the way that they have been. And I think Buffalo is kind of a team, you know, that's in the division. They're a pretty good team. So it's obviously if you win, you know, if you win this game, or even if you play just competitive and play tough, you know, I think that's what a lot of people want to see, because then I'll kind of determine evaluate and determine what they're going to do at the deadline. You know, SI's Albert Breer said that he's been hearing that the Patriots have been open to hearing all types of trade offers. And part of me thinks that maybe that they don't, you know, have a lot of confidence in terms of how their team is kind of currently shaped right now. But with regardless of what the fact is, you know, they have to find a way to win this game. It's a critical game, and, you know, it's obviously not no better than a better time to go into Buffalo. And obviously you don't have to worry about those fans and Bills Mafia. That would obviously been ruckus, because they obviously have a good really high confidence that they can win this game. But I think that we might be able to get them at the right time, and hopefully we can find a way to win it at some, you know, regardless of how it is, you know, just
yes, absolutely. So we just have to get a win here. So I think that the Patriots are going to at least play hard. I think they're going to avenge, show some fight after getting blown out last week in their loss to the 49ers. But really, let's take a look at your AFC East standing. So let's break that down for you right now, as I will have it in front of my screen. But let's take a look here. So in first place is the Buffalo Bills with a record of 5-2. In second place, the Miami Dolphins with a 3-3 record. They're right at 500. The third place team, the New England Patriots, 2-4. And they're not at 500. And if they win, they can be close to 500 so that they can try to go 4-4 in their next game, next Monday night against the Jets. And speaking of the Jets, they're playing the Chiefs, and they're 0-7.
Yeah, the Jets obviously are definitely going into tank mode right now. So, I mean, this is obviously the Patriots that they want to get some common ground and obviously make the most of opportunities. This is a big, big week, because if you win this game, and then regardless of who you have out there against the Jets, I mean, if you don't find a way to beat that team, regardless of how good or how bad you play, I mean, you might as well just not even try to worry about playing the rest of your games, because there's no other easier opponent, I would say, right now in the NFL than playing the Jets.
Yes, absolutely. But also, you know, I kind of think here the Jets are pretty much tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And I'm kind of thinking Sam Darnold's going to be out the door from the Jets by the end of the season. But speaking of Trevor Lawrence, we're going to have to address this now. He has tested positive for COVID. But, you know, I'm not worried about his draft status. I really think that if Trevor, assuming that Trevor Lawrence enters the draft and if the Jets pick him number one, I think Trevor Lawrence can really turn around the Jets.
Well, I think you can turn them around as long as they can get some head coaching that can call plays. That's the biggest weakness for that team is there. They got to find somebody that can call some plays. I know Adam Gase didn't have the call in the plays last game against the Bills, and it looked like it did some good things in the first half. But, you know, when it came to the end of it, it's all about just their execution and – their team as a whole. Obviously, they're going to get rid of some pieces come this next couple days. You know, they have to find ways to get some better talent out there with that team. If you can get that, and you could obviously grow Lawrence over time, I mean, I think he definitely can fit that scheme. But the biggest thing right now with Lawrence is figuring out, you know, his recovery time, and obviously that he wants to be back for that big game against Notre Dame.
Yes, and also let's talk about some other NFL news here. So both Broncos and Vikings players test positive for COVID-19. Sunday's games remain unchanged, meaning that expect to see the take on the Broncos on Sunday, along with the Vikings taking on the Green Bay Packers. So Todd Davis, Minnesota Vikings linebacker, has tested positive for the virus, and Denver guard Graham Glasnow has also tested positive.
Yeah, I did see that news too. I'm not saying like surprised anymore with this information, but it just seems like every day they obviously have a different team that's had to deal with a case here and there. I would say that the majority of these games that go on during the weekend, if they have a guy that tests positive, and the best way to just is contract trace, isolate. If it turns out to be more than one person, then it starts to get more of a, I wouldn't say more serious, because I think just one person already as itself is a serious matter. But then you're more looking in terms of the fact of how it broke off with other people in the locker room. I know that I was reading today that the NFL is trying to space out more of the people on the sideline so they can eliminate close contacts a little bit better. So I think that, you know, they will play those games, especially if they've already used their bye weeks.
Yeah, they already used their bye weeks. So
exactly. So they obviously don't want to, you know, still with almost a quarter more left the season, even half, they want to eliminate as best as possible week 18 at this point in the season. So whatever that they can find a way to play, whether it's on time or the Monday or the Tuesday, whatever they can do, they will try to do it.
Absolutely. I think they're doing everything they can to eliminate a week 18. So also other news to talk about here is that Saints Michael Thomas is going to miss a sixth straight game. Man, the Saints need him so badly. But also we have other news to talk about is that the Ravens have signed left tackle Ronnie Stanley to a 5-year, $98.75 million extension. The Ravens are definitely going for it. But the next thing they got to do is pay Lamar Jackson. And also, Vikings running back Dalvin Cook is also questionable to play versus Green Bay on Sunday. And we know that Aaron Jones is going to be ruled out Sunday. But really, I think that Aaron Jones, the Packers are going to need Aaron Jones later in the season. But also, we know that Mike McCarthy is preparing Ben DiNucci to start on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, so you gave me a bunch of information there. I did read a majority of the stuff you mentioned. The Ben DiNucci situation, I mean, the Cowboys, like you talked about a couple days ago with that team, they're obviously very thin at the position. And Dalvin Cook, I heard that he is good to go from Tom Pelissero. They did put him on the injury report, but I do think he will play if I had to, you know, think about it. Aaron Jones obviously is a big crucial loss, but they've been able to do pretty effectively in the passing game that they want to obviously save him and have him be healthy. Ronnie Stanley is obviously a very good move for them. He's a really good offensive lineman, well-deserved for that player. I know that they got rid of Marshall Yanda. They moved on from him. He was obviously a big anchor cornerstone with that team. And like you said, Lamar Jackson, he's going to want to get paid as well. You've seen the extensions to Mahomes and to Deshaun Watson. He's obviously going to be next in terms of when they will pay him. So there's obviously a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with the NFL stuff. And, you know, closer we'll get to talk more about next week of what teams do, if teams say pat, if they decide to sell, if they decide to invest more into adding some weapons or – some pieces that just can try to get them over the hump. So we'll see what happens. You know, next week is more news, you know, whether it's in the COVID situation with the NFL or just general news itself.
All right. So let's also talk about some week 8 question marks around the league, but also within our division too. So let's talk about this. Will the Ravens hand the Steelers their first loss? Yes or no? I'm going to say yes.
No. I think the Ravens will put up a great fight. I just really like the Steelers. I know a lot of people don't think that obviously the Steelers might be more of an overrated type team.
Underestimating the Steelers before the season. I was like, how's Ben Roethlisberger going to come back from that elbow injury?
Right.
I thought Lamar Jackson was going to continue making that second year big leap as a starter, and I think he has. But really, the Steelers are just a better football team right now.
Exactly. Well, I think a lot of people underrate that defense. That defense is pretty good, especially that Minkah Fitzpatrick that mid-year acquisition last year. He's been helping that team out a lot. T.J. Watt's been really good.
You agree what I was saying about the Steelers? Like, I was saying that I was kind of underestimating them this year.
I agree. No, I agree, too. I think that the Ravens were obviously kind of the favorite. But the Steelers are playing great football. And, you know, that's going to be a really, really good game on Sunday. It's going to be a tough test. It really could really go either way. And we'll have to see how it ends out. But I'm going to pick the Steelers. So, I do think the Ravens will lose this game.
You will have to wait and see. I mean, the AFC North is going to be one of the best divisions in football in a year or two, like how the NFC West is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So now let's talk about some AFC East questions. So for the Patriots, our team, will the Patriots trade Stephon Gilmore at the trade deadline? And I'm going to go first with this answer. I'm going to say no.
I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, I don't think Sunday's game determines it by any means yet, but I think I'm going to say no, but yes, they're going to give him some offers out there. I just don't exactly know the market right now. If the Patriots decide to get, depending on what kind of draft picks they would try to get back in return, you know, it's a very important piece of that team on defense. He's kind of regressed a little this year after having a fantastic defensive player of the year season the year before. So I'm going to kind of be in the middle in this one to kind of answer your question. It could happen. It might not. You know, time will tell. There's more guys out there that are, you know, closer to the free agency that I'm like, yes, I know for the fact they'll move them. This is Gilmore, and I just think that he's kind of on the cusp of, you know, potentially as an option.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I hope he doesn't get traded, but if he does, it's going to be what's best for the Patriots, like what Bill Belichick says. I trust what he does because
exactly. You've seen what Jamie Collins, kind of another prime example. Obviously, Collins was a beast for a lot of years for the team. I know that they brought him back to resign him after he went to Cleveland for that little time, and then he came back to the Patriots. He was still pretty effective, but obviously – the first stint around with the Patriots, he was one of the best players in that defense. So that's just kind of a prime example, just kind of a guy that, you know, Bill decides to move on from and really trust in that position has enough depth. And I know that secondary has enough depth if they move on from Gilmore. I mean, Gilmore's a big part of that defense, but that's just kind of a way that they can move on if it's best for the team. And obviously, if he can go to more contending type team right now, that might need some cornerback help.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But I think maybe the Seahawks could get him. Maybe they could pair him with Jamal Adams.
Titans would be an interesting one too. They obviously might need it. But like you see, yeah, the Seahawks would be a cool one. You know, potentially the Steelers maybe. I think that might, you know, they're obviously really in the race too. But I don't know. I mean, there will probably be some suitors. Maybe the Raiders. We'll have to see.
Absolutely. Next question for our AFC East questions for Week 8, our question lines of the week. So, will Tua Tagovailoa win his first game as a Dolphins starter? I am going to say I'm in the middle in this one just because the Rams are a better team, but the Dolphins are almost there. I think – early next year or maybe 2022, I think the Dolphins and Bills are going to win the AFC East division. The middle between it will get first win as a Dolphins starter in his first career start on Sunday.
I'm going to go with no. I think that he'll have a great game, but I think that he, against a really tough test to start off, if it was somebody that was kind of like mid-part, even maybe like the Bills or, you know, kind of just that mid-tier type team that has a lot of, you know, weaknesses on their defense, I would say probably yes. But I think that the Rams have a very, very good defense. So I think that Tua will not win this game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's see how that fares out here. So now let's talk about the next thing we're going to talk about next. is for the Buffalo Bills. So, can the Buffalo Bills run away with the AFC East? That's a question mark I came up with before our show, and I'm going to say it's possible because their offense has been very good so far this season. Their defense has shown its ups and downs, but really the Buffalo Bills have pretty much started to show that they're probably going to be the new kings of the AFC East.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you'll have to think, right? I mean, they got a great coach, Sean McDermott. Josh Allen's obviously and starting to get a lot better year after year. So I would just have to say yes. I mean, it's painful for me to say as a Pats fan, but, you know, Bills fans are kind of like the fact of you had your time, you had your dynasty. You know, it's bound to happen that we obviously want to, you know, get our time to shine. So, you know, obviously they understand that, you know, the Patriots might not be the same team that they used to be. But obviously, as they say, you got to in order to beat the best, you got to beat the best. And I think that's kind of the way that the Bills are thinking right now against the Patriots.
Yes, we're going to dive more deeper into this, into their game on Sunday. So another AFC question for Week 8 is, will the Jets go 0-16 and trade Sam Darnold and get Trevor Lawrence? And also another question is, does Adam Gase get fired at the end of the season? And to answer all these three questions there, I'm going to say yes to all three, because here's the thing. Adam Gase is not really the fit for the New York Jets, just because the Jets are better than this. I mean, Adam Gase, I mean, he's not really a good coach. As much as I hate the New York Jets as a New England Patriots fan myself, the New York Jets have been this overrated team that I've seen throughout the years, starting with Rex Ryan. Todd Bowles was pretty much their best coach they had. Adam Gase is, I mean, I didn't think he does. I don't think he knows how to utilize Sam Darnold. So really, I really think that the answer to all three of those questions I came up with is a yes.
I would say, so could we go back to those questions you asked again?
The first one is, will the Jets fire Adam Gase at the end of the 2020 season?
I think that's more than a guarantee. I think that a really good fit could be for the Jets is the offensive coordinator from the Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. That's, I think, a really good fit for them. Will the Jets trade away Sam Darnold? That remains to be seen.
Well, I ask that because it's going to depend on who the new head coach of the Jets is, and if he wants his own guy and not Darnold. That's what I'm kind of thinking here.
That's very true. Do I think they're going to go winless? No, I think they'll find a way to win a game here or there. I didn't see the rest of their schedule, but I do think they'll find a way to at least get one win. It's extremely tough to go winless. I know that tanking even, you really don't want to win any, but I think, you know, here and there, you know, even good teams will have their off games and they might be able to pounce on one of them. I know that they were close last game. I mean, they held the Bills to just field goals and they were close enough to kind of be within reach of winning potentially. So I would go with no on that question. Sam Darnold getting moved, I have a good thinking of yes. I would think that they'll listen to Sam Darnold in the off season, and because what's the use of trying to go after a guy like Trevor Lawrence if you already have Sam Darnold there? I mean, I think Sam Darnold's obviously, he has a lot of poise and upside, and maybe, you know, he realizes that he can go to a team that is able to be more competitive and, you know, obviously try to win.
Yes, and also Trevor Lawrence I think here's the thing. I think the Jets are tanking for Trevor Lawrence on purpose, but I really think they are for real.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. I mean, they've kind of seen what the quarterback situation is. And I mean, if you have the number one overall pick and you try to tank for a guy like Lawrence, I mean, obviously go for it.
So here's the Jets' remaining schedule, and I'm going to say it right now. So they have the Chiefs week 8, and that's a loss for sure. That's going to be a for sure loss. And then they play us week 9 and the Patriots on Monday Night Football. And I could see the Jets getting shellacked against the Patriots on Monday Night Football. Before their week 10 bye.
I don't know if shellac's the right word. I think we could beat them, you know, with even low 20s, maybe like a 22-23-10 type game. could be a low scoring game because the Patriots aren't really able right now, kind of with the way that they have injuries and stuff like that, people banged up, to score up in the high 30s. You know, they're going to have to win by a lot of a couple rushing touchdowns here and there, maybe a passing touchdown. They only have had one passing touchdown through 6-7 weeks to a wide receiver, which is extremely concerning. So they're going to have to wait, you know, find ways to kind of do what they do great, and that's running the football, doing those screen passes. And obviously the biggest thing is just don't turn the ball over, because no matter who you play, you cannot turn the ball over in this league. So that's the biggest thing that they have to do. The Jets, obviously, fortunate enough, are just going to be trading away a lot of pieces, I think, at the deadline. That's obviously something I would say that for the Patriots that you could just take advantage of, because they'll just not have a lot of, you know, depth at a lot of the prime positions.
So they have a week 10 bye, so, and then week 11, they're going to play the Chargers, and I think the Jets are going to lose to the Chargers, but I think the Jets will make that a close game. And then week 12, they play the Dolphins again at MetLife Stadium, but I do think the Dolphins are going to beat the Jets again.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Dolphins will win for sure, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Because their schedule looks very tough, because week 13, they play the Las Vegas Raiders. I think the Raiders get revenge from that blowout loss that they suffered last year against the Jets.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
that should have not happened.
No, I think they will. I think they will rebound that for sure.
Week 14,
put that game past.
They played Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and I think the Jets are going to get shellacked there in Seattle.
Yeah, Seahawks will shellack them. Them and the Chiefs. I think, you know, you could say that about the Patriots. You know, they could dominate them. But I think that the Patriots, you know, could win, you know, a low-scoring type game and win that one.
And then,
but the Seahawks and the Chiefs could just, like, bully them if they really need to.
And then look at their last three games. Week 15, they go to L.A. again to play the Rams. And the Rams defense is going to dominate that Jets offense. So there's no way the Jets are going to even score against that defense.
No, the Rams have a really, really good defense. I'll give you that.
And then week 16 against Cleveland, I think the Browns win that game for sure.
Oh, that could be a game where, I don't know, it depends what kind of Browns team you get. That's the thing. Because Baker Mayfield is turnover savvy. I mean, he will. And the Browns have a good team, but that could be a trap game for them potentially. I wouldn't rule. If it's close to the end of the season, you know, maybe they're starting to rest some guys. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the Browns could be playoff bound without Odell Beckham Jr., which I think will happen. Which I think they will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, what's the rest? Depending on the rest of their schedule, that could be probably the only game they have a chance to win and remotely win.
And then week 17, the Jets finish up the season with us, the Patriots. So I kind of think the Patriots, assuming they make the playoffs or not, the Patriots will still win that game regardless at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that's what I was just looking at the Jets schedule to tell you, just because it doesn't look winnable to me when I look at their remaining schedule. Just because the Jets haven't won a game since last December, and I don't see them winning a game at all this year, in my opinion, from the way they've been playing. Everybody's going to beat the Jets this year.
There's a good chance that will happen.
That's why I'm saying there's a good chance that the Jets will go 0-16. But another Jets question we're going to throw in there is that there are rumors about Quinnen Williams being on the trade block, but do you think he's a guy that's off limits in any trade talks for the Jets? I really think he's somebody that the Jets want to build their future around when it comes to building their defense.
I agree. Yeah, I think the Jets, besides Quinnen Williams, are pretty much open for business. I want to rule out them moving on from a guy like Jameson Crowder, Chris Hogan, defensively, Brian Poole, maybe some guys maybe in the secondary that can might be able to help out with some depth at some contending teams. So, yeah, I would say that's obviously a very good you know, piece to kind of keep around. I mean, you're obviously not keeping around a lot of pieces for that Jets team for the future. You want to sell, get some higher draft picks, and start to think that way, but. You know, Williams is a guy I think that they'll probably keep around.
Yes, they're going to keep him around for quite a while. But also, with that being said, let's talk about let's recap Thursday Night Football from last night. So I thought the Panthers were going to win and beat the Falcons. But the Falcons, they proved me wrong last night. Their defense showed up at the right time. Their offense played very well. But the Panthers, they came close. But really, Teddy Bridgewater had a concussion, but I didn't think he looked the same in the end of the game. So really, props to the Falcons for winning yesterday, even though I was not really sure of them heading into this game against the Panthers, since it was at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. And I was thinking that the Panthers would win again. So, but basically, Ben, I'll tell you what, this is the best 3-5 team that I've seen in the Carolina Panthers, you know?
Yeah, the Panthers have some really good pieces. Curtis Samuel had a good game yesterday. You know, I thought that the hit that Bridgewater took was pretty dirty. I think that the league has to start penalizing guys for hits like that. You know, we saw him with Andy Dalton.
What were you saying again, Ben?
Looking at him, but besides that fact, give the credit to the Falcons, their defense. They were able to hold up. I know that it kind of came to the end and people were thinking, oh, they're going to blow it again, but they really held on. And, you know, give credit to Matt Ryan. He had a decent game overall. Julio Jones as well, too. Calvin Ridley got banged up. He was out. So I think he was going to have a big game, too, as well. Todd Gurley almost owned them for a second straight game. He rushed out of bounds. And that obviously saved the timeouts for Carolina. Bridgewater threw a tough pick that really nobody was open for. But give credit to the Falcons.
Yeah, that was a well-deserved win for the Falcons. I mean, you know, they usually finish out the season strong. But really, I mean, firing Dan Quinn was worth it for the Falcons. So I'm kind of thinking that for their next head coach, I think they're going to get a head coach that could really save Matt Ryan's career.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is, what does Matt Ryan want to do? I heard Julio Jones after the game saying that he wants to remain in Atlanta, probably. But Matt Ryan's obviously a name that I think
– I don't think the Falcons trade him. I don't think he gets traded. I think Matt Ryan still has years left in him that can really help the Atlanta Falcons get back to their winning identity.
Yeah, I mean, they actually have been close in a lot of these games, so it really hasn't been a lot.
It's more the coaching, and you can also have to look at their defense. The Atlanta Falcons defense hasn't been great all year long. Their defense was so bad last year. They're just getting guys like Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal healthy. And when those guys are healthy, the Falcons defense as a whole, collectively, is very dangerous and scary. That's what I'm saying about the Falcons defense. It depends on their health. Dante Fowler's been a big help for them this year. When they got rid of Vic Beasley, I didn't know where their defense would be without Vic Beasley.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Beasley's been a great player for them.
Yeah, but also Grady Jarrett. I can't leave out Grady Jarrett. He is he's just a monster in the middle.
Yep, Grady Jarrett. I remember him from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so
us. That's
other question marks here. So, with the Panthers, are they the best 3-5 team that you've seen? I have to say yes, because even though they're 3-5, it doesn't mean that they're going to be tanking for Trevor Lawrence. That was that everybody was rumbling about the Panthers not playing so well this year. But I really, here's the thing, I really like what Matt Rhule has been doing with the Carolina Panthers and rebuilding that program, because he came into Temple. He turned that program around from being a bad team, bad football program, to an elite football program. And he also did the same thing when he was at Baylor.
Yeah, I liked the hire for Matt Rhule with that team. That's obviously a really good fit there. He's been able to do really well with that quarterback in Bridgewater, and obviously they've been able to pretty much play hard without their best player.
They need McCaffrey back badly, man. I mean, honestly, getting Christian McCaffrey back would really help with the Carolina run game. But Mike Davis has stepped up nicely. But really, Matt Rhule has some Temple Owls on his on the Carolina Panthers, especially Robbie Anderson, who I think has made quite an impact with the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, absolutely. I really like that fit, Robbie.
And also, Jeremy Chin from Temple. He has had quite a year for his rookie year.
Yeah, and if you saw the fake punt, he called that. That was an audible call that he made. So, give props to that perspective, too.
Yeah, I'm just talking about guys that played for Rhule at Temple or at Baylor. So, basically, with the Panthers, I think offensively they're there. But really, if you look at their defense, what I saw from them, from their defense, it's young. But I really think that their defense will be good within the next year or two. Just because even though that they have Luke Kuechly retired and they lost Thomas Davis in free agency, I really think with the defense that they have, I think it's gonna click, because Derek Brown, who they drafted in the seventh pick in that draft in the 2020 draft, I think he's gonna make quite an impact on that defense, especially stopping the run.
Oh, absolutely. Their defense, I think, is really underrated. I mean, they had a chance to win that game yesterday or tie it, because they made a crucial defensive stop at the end of that game. Just
and I think
enough.
The player of the game for the Panthers, especially if they won or not, Curtis Samuel had a fantastic football game.
Oh, for sure. That's the guy that actually there's been rumblings about for the Patriots for a little while is a guy like him. I think something about Cam Newton that I think he loves is guys that can run in space and create separation. And a guy like him would be perfect.
Yeah, I wonder if he's related to Debo Samuel, Curtis Samuel. But they have the same last name, though.
I actually don't know. That's a good question. I actually don't know. That's something I probably should take a look at.
Yes, also talk about guys like DJ Moore having a good year. And also, their tight ends are okay, but Ian Thomas can be good.
Yeah, I like their tight ends are decent. I really like DJ Moore a lot, though. He's a burner, and you put him with a guy like Robbie Anderson. Those are two guys that can create havoc teams.
Also, let's talk about even though that Teddy Bridgewater kind of left the game with a concussion, PJ Walker did some good things last night, too, from what I saw from the Thursday night game.
Yeah, he did some good things.
Yeah, I mean, he tried his best, but really, what I saw from the Carolina Panthers yesterday, they're a team that plays hard each and every game. And Matt Rhule, I think he's a guy that's really moving this team into a different direction now that Cam Newton's gone. But another question we have for you is, and I'm going to answer it first. Is Teddy Bridgewater the long-term answer for the Carolina Panthers? I'm going to say yes, because he deserves another shot at being a starting quarterback again. And I think he's really lived up to that expectation so far.
Oh, absolutely. I really like Bridgewater. I think he's been a great fit for them. He's definitely really helped out a lot.
He sure has, especially like if you look at Teddy Bridgewater. I think the Vikings are going to regret giving up on him too soon, just because of the torn ACL, Pro Bowler in 2015. But really, if you look at it, I felt like Teddy Bridgewater could have been the Vikings quarterback of the future when healthy, but I kind of think he's the Carolina Panthers starter going forward now.
Yeah, I do too. I think
he's going to get a big extension with Carolina. Despite he's 27, he's a fun player to watch. I've always liked Teddy Bridgewater, but I really feel like that he's right now one of my front runners for comeback player of the year.
He's definitely proved to people that he's still really, really, really
I just felt
good.
Like the Vikings just gave up on him too soon. Don't you think the Vikings gave up on Bridgewater too soon?
But I think that they trust a lot in Kirk.
Yeah, let's talk about that with the Vikings. So, Vikings questions. So, can the Vikings overcome a one-win start? I'm going to say I'm on the fence on that, just because they're playing Green Bay. I don't know if their schedule is going to get any easier, but there's a lot to like about this Minnesota Vikings team, but really their defense has just been their has been their weakest link all year long?
I'm going to say they're not going to regroup. That's a team that is going to probably give away some pieces. Harrison Smith could be on the move.
Trading Steph, I thought this with the Vikings. When they traded away Stephon Diggs, I was like, can this Vikings offense be the same without Diggs? I'm like, yeah, Thielen. And then if they draft a receiver, then they'll be good.
Right. Well, they just have been a great story, but I think you just have to give the guy some time to really develop because he's young. I really do think he can be a really good player for them. It's just a matter of his production year after year now.
Yeah, so you think that the question that we talked about is, you think Teddy Bridgewater is the long-term quarterback for the Panthers, and I think so from what I've seen. Yeah, this is a fun team to watch, though, the Carolina Panthers. But also we're going to talk about here, so let's talk about a Tampa Bay question, a Brady question. So how do you think will Antonio Brown help the Buccaneers be a Super Bowl contender? Yes or no? I'm going to say absolutely. If you have him with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Scotty Miller and Justin Watson, this Tampa Bay offense is scary. With Brady and with Gronk and with Ronald Jones, Rojo, and Leonard Fournette.
Well, the biggest thing about that Tampa team right now is their defense is playing
great. They have been playing great.
You don't have to worry about the defense. You just have to worry about the fact of how he can fit in. And you saw a little bit of last year with Brady that looked like they were onto something. The way that they play with each other that one game in New England. And yes, it's a small sample size, but it looks like they might be able to have a strong connection there. So with that being said, I think that could help them a lot.
Yes, and also let's talk about here with the Saints. So the Saints are going to be without Michael Thomas again. Can the Saints win another game without Michael Thomas and save him for the second half of the season?
I mean, they can. It's just a matter of that they're going to need him eventually. I think they're starting to lose patience with his – I mean, you'd have to think that they're trying to do a week-by-week type thing, but it's kind of shocking to me that they want to just put him on IR at this
point. Look, his injury's not that serious, though, but really, losing Michael Thomas is such – a huge blow to the Saints offense, but the good news for Drew Brees is he still has Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I mean, he still has some guys to work with, but, you know, Brees obviously loves to use Michael Thomas in a lot of their formation and pack and, you know, packaging formations. So that's just the biggest thing.
Yeah, so let's talk about another question line regarding the Seahawks. So, how does Carlos Dunlap help the Seattle defense? I really think that the Seahawks pass rush isn't that great. I mean, with having a pass rush without Bruce Irvin really, really hurts the Seahawks because Bruce Irvin can get to the quarterback. KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner can really help that area of the team with their sacks. But really, Carlos Dunlap's a good complement to them.
Yeah, he had a lot of great seasons in Cincinnati. You know, he was just obviously losing a lot of playoff. I wouldn't say playoff time because he didn't really make the playoffs with Cincy, but a lot of playing time, which I was trying to get to. But, you know, he's a good disruptor, and obviously the Seahawks are trying to find some guys that can help on their defense. So I think that's a good fit for them.
Here's a question I have for you, because in Madden 21, I put Earl Thomas back with the Seahawks to pair with Jamal Adams. Can the Seahawks bring back Earl Thomas? I'm going to say go for it, because if you need help defensively and with that pass defense, you could complement Jamal Adams. And Earl Thomas can really help Jamal Adams out in the back end of that defense so that they can bring back that magic that they had in the Legion of Boom era with Sherman and Browner and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, I mean that's a good observation. Maybe they could bring him back. I'm not sure in terms of their, they trade away Bradley McDougal for Jamal Adams, and so they obviously got rid of one guy short there. But I would say that they could be. I'm just not sure in terms of the fact that their money situation.
I've always thought the Seattle Seahawks are the best team in the NFC West, just because Russell Wilson makes this team a lot better. So here's another, here's a question mark heading into the almost first half, almost the end of the first half and heading into the second half of the NFL season. So is, can Russell Wilson, is this the year that finally Russell Wilson wins the MVP award? I could see why not.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. He's proven to show people that, you know, there's other players in the league that are quarterbacks, you know, like the Mahomes's and, you know, the Watsons even. You know, Wilson's right there. I mean, I think a lot of people don't give this guy enough credit for what he's done in the league. You know, he's won a Super Bowl before. He was close enough if he didn't Marshawn Lynch didn't if he didn't throw the football, Marshawn Lynch just ran it in. But that's obviously – it was obviously good for us. But regardless of the fact he's been a great quarterback for a while, great leader, great teammate, I'm going
to
go yes.
Yes. This Seattle team's really off to the best start so far. But really, the NFC West is kind of like you never know who's going to win this division kind of thing. One team who's the best team in the NFC West, it's the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the NFC West has a lot of great players.
It's one of my favorite divisions to talk about.
Absolutely, because all of them have a chance to, first of all, make the playoffs, but have a good chance to get up on top.
Yes, but really the team that's been really on the rise is the Arizona Cardinals, and you know how much I love Kyler Murray. I liked him ever since he entered the league last year, and I really think that he's like a mini version of Russell Wilson, but even better.
Oh, I'm not sure he's better quite yet, but I think he's kind of just his own skill set. You know, he's extremely elusive. He definitely has DeAndre Hopkins to help him out.
Didn't even think the Cardinals would get DeAndre Hopkins just because I was wanting them to draft CeeDee Lamb just because he played with Kyler Murray in college. I thought that would have been a better fit for him. And I was like, DeAndre Hopkins and then get CeeDee Lamb, they're going to be set at receiver just because Larry Fitzgerald's old. But really, CeeDee Lamb's a cowboy. But really, DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk are definitely a good receiver combo for Kyler Murray. Larry Fitzgerald has been a key and integral part of Kyler Murray's development.
For sure.
Don't you think?
I agree.
For a 37-year-old future Hall of Famer, that's really helping the young guy out.
Yeah, Kyler Murray definitely has some guys that he could throw the ball to. Also, another guy, Andy Isabella. He's a D threat that came out of UMass.
From your neck of the woods. Him.
Right. And also Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, I mean, Kenyon Drake. I love Alabama players. You know how much I love Alabama players. Kenyon Drake, I think he was great with Miami, but I really think he's turned out to be one of their best players on the Arizona Cardinals, especially when it comes to their running game. But also, do you think we should give Cliff Kingsbury some Coach of the Year votes? I like Cliff Kingsbury, to be honest with you.
I would say I think he's going to become one of the best coaches.
His first year was kind of like a growing year for Cliff Kingsbury. I was kind of unsure about the move just because he hasn't been a coordinator at USC. I thought he was going to get that job. I thought he was going to work with Coach McVay and be their offensive coordinator because Kingsbury and Sean McVay are obviously close friends. But really, Cliff Kingsbury, I really think he's turning out to be one of those successful head coaches. He did some good things at Texas Tech and being part of Kyler Murray's rise at Texas Tech. But really, his offenses are lethal.
They are. He definitely schemes that offense really well. And he's doing a great job right now at Arizona.
They were 5-10-1 last year. I think this year it's taking that step further for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep, they're going to – I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they have a really good chance to, especially with the added team now with the CBA. I think they have a really good chance.
Another question is, can we see all four teams make it to the playoffs? And I'm going to say yes, just because the Rams have been better than they were last year. The Cardinals have been on the rise. The Seahawks are pretty much the best team in that division. It's a foregone conclusion, but really – I think they're going to get challenged. That's what I see. But really, I could see all four teams making the playoffs from the NFC West.
I could too. I think there's a really good chance.
So let's talk about some, before we end the show, let's talk about some of our expectations for the Patriots against the Bills. So let's start off with the Patriots expectations, if the expectations and keys to victory for the Patriots, if they're going to come into Orchard Park to beat this red hot Buffalo Bills team. So on offense, here's what I want to see: establish the ground game, because this Bills run defense is terrible. This is a good opportunity for this Patriots team to reestablish the run game. And also, Cam Newton, he's got to get off to a fast start. And also, without Elvin, you got to see what you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the nail right there. They have to use a lot of their pieces that they have right now, because they don't have a lot of their main pieces right there right now with that team. The keys to victory for both teams, first for the Patriots, staff, they could be without some of their key guys on defense. The Cam just has to play better. He just has to a little bit turnovers. He has to be very aware with his pocket presence and make a lot better throws. And have good timing with them. And so if he can be able to have a good balance, they have a good chance to win. But if they don't do it, then there's a good chance that they will drop another game. Keys to the victory for the Bills is similar to what the 49ers and the Broncos did, and that was the time of possession. If you win the time of possession right now against the Patriots, Patriots don't want to be falling behind again like they have the last couple of weeks. So if they do, if they're able to get ahead and, get some touchdowns against the Patriots team, Patriots might not have enough of a caliber to make a comeback and stay within distance. So those are my two keys.
For the Bills, here's what I think. I think the Bills, they're going to have to establish both the pass and the run game, just because Josh Allen can throw a deep ball. And, you know, he's had another good season this year. Josh Allen has. I'm talking about he's been playing well all year long so far. And he has really taken that big leap from what we saw.
Yeah, he has. He's played well. He's made a lot better decisions with himself. Just overall, the ground game, he runs it. He can throw it. He has some weapons around him, too. Beasley, Brown, now Diggs, so... you really have to kind of see what Allen's doing at all times. And then you also have to worry about the running game, because they have good running backs. Singletary's obviously their main guy that's very slippery in the backfield and is very elusive. And then Zach Moss, too. So they'll have their hands full. And obviously the Patriots now, with a couple of guys banged up, it could make them harder,
that's for sure. But also let's talk about here who to watch for. But I also want to say here for the Bills on defense, I think they got to find a way to stop the run. But let's talk about players to watch for both teams. So I'm going to start with the Patriots, who to watch out for. On offense, you better watch out for Cam Newton. If he has a bounce-back game, I think this Buffalo Bills defense is going to get tired. On defense, watch out for my man Chase Winovich, because he can get to the quarterback. If you don't get out of the pocket right away, he's going to come get you.
Yeah, my offensive players to watch are, I'm going to go to Damien Harris. I think he's going to be a very big part to this team on offense.
This is his time to shine right now,
I think Newton's going to – right. I think Newton's going to have a decent game. I think he might have another turnover, but I think he might have a little bit more progress, be able to make some better reads with the passes he will have. Obviously he might not have the game that we were expecting, kind of similar to the Raider game where, you know, he was kind of that inconsistent type player. But I think that even if you kind of give him that, because he's just been bad. I mean, you just kind of have to see what he's even admitted himself. Just kind of have to get kind of his confidence up a little bit, make some throws, make some plays. And, so I would say Damien Harris, and then defense, I'm going to go Lawrence Guy. I think that he's been one of your bright spots for a while.
He has been a bright spot with his veteran experience, and he has had Super Bowl type experience, Lawrence Guy. But also on the Bills, who I'm watching out for on offense is Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. They're showtime, you know. But on defense, you got to watch out for Jari Hughes, their veteran leader, and also my man Tremaine Edmonds, and also Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, the Bills have a lot of guys that I can go with. I'm going to go with John Brown because I think Diggs is going to get I think Gilmore will find a way to play on Sunday. I think Diggs will be covered by him. So I think Brown will have some space. Beasley's another guy. So I'm going to say Beasley and Brown's kind of combined. And then the pass rush, a lot of guys in the pass rush, Addison, Mario Addison, Jerry Hughes, and then their secondary. The linebackers are actually one of their weaknesses because Matt Milano has been banged up. And, you know, they just have a holes that the Patriots can find holes. That second element could be there any.
Yes, and also watch out for the rookie A.J. Espinosa, who I think should have some good games too, you know?
Yeah, that's a guy that I thought the Patriots might draft, that kid. He looked like he had something special.
Yeah, there, and so. Also you got to watch out for Ed Oliver. He's a run-stopping specialist.
Yeah, he's Ed Oliver. Yep, he's definitely been well-known. So.
Yeah, so basically, I'm looking forward to this Sunday's game, and also my man Charles Davis from NFL Network will be calling the game with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn on CBS. I'm looking forward to their call. I was happy. I've always been an NFL and CBS guy. I like Charles, and you know, I've always liked Charles Davis, but I really think he came to the right place to be with CBS.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear their call, and we will talk for next week, see how the Pats do against the Bills, but thank you guys.
Yeah, with that being said, man, I'll see you next week for Loro and Friends Inside the NFL and Patriots Talk next Friday.
Yep, so I'll talk then. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your holiday. Stay safe, and go Pats on Sunday.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Go Pats.
Yep, hopefully we can talk about a win finally next week. All right.
Yes, we can talk about a win.
All right, see you.